My initial reaction was, where are all your users and why are we meeting their needs? So I came with another assumption saying a community is our users, and let's change that perspective of a Facebook group is our community. And I think that's the reason I kind of nailed the job in the end of the day, because I wasn't really fitting the exact role they thought they should have.
Welcome to The Connectors, a podcast about the people who are building and managing innovative ecosystems worldwide. The exponential growth in demand for innovation from all kinds of players in the global tech world has created new and diverse versions of ecosystems. On the podcast, we will interview different ecosystem managers to learn about their work, find out how they measure their impact, and their ways to generate value for the different stakeholders they work with. We'll explore how they maximize collaborations and hear about their challenges through stories from their day-to-day life, and of course, some insights for the future. My name is Iqbal Perlman. I'm the VP Business Development at Tau Ventures, and with me is Nitzan Gal, CEO and co-founder of Qlik. So this is an episode that we have been really waiting for, because we have one of the most interesting ladies in the Israeli tech ecosystem with us today. Nofar, how are you doing?
I'm very good, and I'm super flattered by this introduction.
It's true. I think there was a little girl crush before, and now we can say it officially. So this is actually a really, really fun opportunity to finally speak about all the things that you're up to. And we're just going to jump straight in. Nofar leads community at Elementor, one of the fastest growing companies in Israel and in the world. We'd love to hear about you. So tell us about yourself.
So I'm Nofar, head of community at Elementor. I have a long experience in marketing specifically, and through a personal community that I led, a social community for mothers specifically, I realized that I was doing community my whole life. It started from high school and in the army specifically. And then I actually realized that as a marketing director, I was just making sure that I'm customer focused all the time. And all of our efforts were just exploring our users and customers' needs and actually meeting them. And a fun anecdote is, through community, through my network and my social community, I actually got into Elementor. So I spoke to a colleague, a blogger of mine, and she was actually saying, you have to meet my brother. And I was like, okay, so who's your brother? Because I was looking for it to make a change and to pursue community full time. And she said, yeah, you know, Yoni from Elementor, he's the CEO. And I'm like, okay, let's meet. And you know, the rest is history. So community brought me into Elementor eventually. So I think that was an amazing experience.
That's super cool. I'm interested to learn more about that first introduction. So was it at a time that Yoni understood that he's looking for a community manager, or is it something that you started to teach them about?
So I think community at that time, I joined Elementor 2 years ago. And at that time, they had a super engaged community on Facebook, 25,000 people at that time. And Ben from Elementor, which was doing everything at that time, he led the community, and then they realized they needed a more professional look and a devoted person to run that community. But early on, and by very, very early stages in the interview itself, I realized that community is much more than the tool. It's much more than the Facebook group that they had, because they had millions of users, but only 25 on Facebook. So my initial reaction was, where are all your users and why are we meeting their needs? So I came with another assumption saying community is our users, and let's change that perspective of a Facebook group is our community. And I think that's the reason I kind of nailed the job in the end of the day, because I wasn't really fitting the exact role they thought they should have.
Perfect. And before I move forward, I think it's important to tell whoever is listening, what is Elementor first? Maybe just like a quick introduction to what the company is doing, and then it will help, I think, understand the rest of the conversation.
Definitely. So Elementor is the leading website builder platform for web creators, professional website builders, not your average Joe that wants to build a website. It's on WordPress, and it's powering today more than 6 million active sites, which that is amazing. It's a wow. number that it's even not tangible to really understand how many websites are working on Elementor today. At its core, Elementor is an open source because we are on WordPress. So the Word community for us is no stranger. It is in our core, in our DNA. And I think that led us to the understanding that Elementor is community and community is Elementor. So it's a great place to do community for.
So you're basically saying we don't have a community? Literally, the organization is built on a community, right? So the success of the organization is based on the success of a community. That's what you're saying?
Exactly. And I think we even shifted our vision at some point from being like the best tool ever for web creators. It became empowering web creators. So putting our user first.
So let's dive in a little bit to understand more about how the community or even the ecosystem, depending how you want to define it, we can also look at that. Who are the key players and stakeholders who are operating in today? And also, if indeed there is an ecosystem that you're working around, or is it only community?
Okay, so first of all, we are looking at an ecosystem as well. So our main focus and our main stakeholders are the users themselves. If I just look at the bigger picture. So first of all, I'm here, or the company is here, to serve our users in the end of the day. We also defined and identified sub-communities, and that is a real way to look at our ecosystem because we have more than 700 Elementor extensions. So third-party add-ons that are involved in Elementor and create more and really broaden how Elementor can actually create websites today. So those sub-communities, like the third-party developers or even educators, which are not our typical average users, are communities as well. And we want to look at their interests and see how we can actually help them evolve as well. And last but not least is the stakeholders inside the company. And for us, it's literally all departments. I was once asked by a very respectable colleague of mine, is Elementor community serves the marketing side of things, the product oriented, or is it support oriented? And my answer was, it's all the above and then some. So actually community is everywhere for us. And it's our job to actually enable that and to create more and more opportunities.
Usually a community is a strategy, meaning that some kind of a team or a manager is trying to understand how to reach a goal. And usually community is a great answer, but then it really comes from them and they build it in that perception with that goal. So how do you look at it here? Who is the manager if everyone is like part of the management, I'll call it. So how does it work with the product team and the customer success team? Who is really responsible for the full experience that they're getting in the community? So help us understand, how are you doing it over there?
We are in a transition phase, understanding that we are at a stage where everyone is looking for our attention and our ability to actually enable and help them. And we need to pick and choose where we're actually getting into that side of the community or that side of the goals that the company have, and how are we actually helping?
Just to be clear, so we're saying we is you as a team leader of the community, and then different departments come to you and ask you to help them reach their goals using the community.
Exactly. So because we fully understand that our users are our focus, and because we are in a belief that we have communities everywhere, this is an assumption that all of our company possesses. So once, let's say, our product department wants to reconnect and really engage with our users, they actually come to us and ask, how can we do that? We have a special project. We want to do it as an ongoing project. So we're actually now building more and more programs that will be long-lasting, and in a sense that they will actually be that department goals and not just community goals, but because it's very easy to be siloed just to create your own goals for your own agenda or your own targets. And at the end of the day, without gathering all of our goals together and really work together and synchronize in the end of the day, we will never achieve what we want to achieve.
But I want you to help us understand, how did it happen? Usually a community is like a department that is part of a big organization, and people don't necessarily understand to the full it's what happens there or what's the value. And it sounds like it's the opposite here. How did it happen? How did you make the community like the center, and then everything is around it probably?
So as I mentioned, I'm at Elementor for 2 years. So it was a long process.
We thought it happened overnight, just from what you described. It was like, boom.
Exactly. No, definitely. Again, I came with an assumption saying our community is our users. Once people really understood that and really, not gave into, but, you know, trusted me in that path, it was much easier to come with new ideas and new plans and new programs that will actually help the one that I'm working with and not just myself or just the users themselves. So by showing them how we're actually enabling them and helping them achieve their goals, it was very easy to convince them this is a way to go. I think one of our biggest challenges is data. And I think this is something that in community, it is known. It's very, very hard to prove that what we're doing is actually contributing into retention or into lower tickets and support or the company goals. And this is something that we're working hard as a company in general, because we're on WordPress, and that presents difficulties in itself, but also because we are using social channels today. So that's something that we are shifting in 2021 to different platforms in order to actually be able to track data, really understand who are the users that are participating in each and every touch point that Elementor possesses, and to see how our community actually makes a difference. And it's not just our gut feeling.
I sort of like taking from here a really important insight of community management and how it's important not only to focus on your community, but create those bridges within the company, within the organizations, with other partners, and build it together. So don't separate yourself and just like be growing the community, but actually showing it and partnering up with other departments to do it stronger and faster maybe.
So I can tell you that my process going into a community or into a program is, first of all, listening to them, listening to our users, because they go first, listening, understanding what they need, read between the lines, because in most cases they're saying something, but maybe they need something else. So it is our first thing is listen and really understand who is our user, what do they need, and also listen to people in the company and how they view the users and the users' needs. That's our first stage in our process. And the second one is asking why for the company. So it's nice to have the why for the users. That's amazing. And treating their needs and really accommodating to what their need is wonderful. But if it doesn't meet a company target or a company why in the end of the day, it will never work and it will never be successful in the long run. So I'm always looking at like the middle part and the part that it actually coexists. And that's the areas I work in.
Let's dive in a little bit into some of the challenges in the day-to-day work. You're describing here a growing community and also a global one. You said before there's something about an ecosystem once you have more and more people engaged from different parts of the world and also different kind of users. What are the main challenges in segmenting such a massive ecosystem?
So again, I think because we're the lack of data is something that we're facing, and we are in a journey to get more and more. But now what we're working with is very little information. So as I said before, first of all, I listen and I really identify the pain points and the needs and what users actually need from Elementor that in this point. And from there, it was very easy for me to identify the different segments and the different types of communities and the different even effects they might have in the growth of Elementor and the future of Elementor, and how we're taking the strategy that is behind the scenes and where we want to go as a company and see where the users want to go and see how we're combining things and working together with them in order to actually achieve what we want to achieve.
Was that something that was literally in like a round table, or like you bring in the users to discuss with Yoni and the other co-founders of the company? Like, how does curating a strategy with your users look like?
Because we are living in social channels and you can see everything in our online, it's very easy just to tap into a conversation and get that feedback. So that's a great tool because they understand we're listening, but they're not actually aware that we're listening, because people can maybe say different things if you're sitting in a round table, you know, Elementor CEO, and you're kind of nervous and you're kind of afraid of what he's going to say. So we're not doing that per se, but we are getting the users with the company and employees from the company in order to really brainstorm, in a sense that will give us more insights or more the ability to connect the dots and really present something that they feel comfortable with and they see the value from. And I have to say that in some cases, they don't understand why we're doing what we're doing. But because we created relationship that based on trust, and because we're trying to be as transparent as possible, I think once we're putting a release out there, and it's not the specific feature that they thought we should have now, they trust us that we're going in a direction that will actually help them. And we're planning the future, so things will come. And I think for those who actually identify the signs, they're seeing little by little what Elementor is doing. And that's amazing to see, because sometimes we see posts like people, oh my God, are you realizing what's going to happen in the future? And that's, you know, that's amazing feedback for us, because they do trust us. And that only comes when you actually listen and give them the ability to connect with us and to talk to us and to be very accommodating to what they actually need.
You touched a little bit about trust. I really want to hear more about, how do you build trust? How does like a community of thousands of people create trust to like a department of few people within a big organization? How is that built?
So I think I can give you an example of something that just happened, and that might give you a more clear view on how we actually do things. So we just released a major release for Elementor. 3.0 was something everyone was looking for in the company, in users themselves. So it was like a huge anticipation for what's coming. And it really changed the infrastructure and how Elementor actually works, like behind the scenes, like, you know, under the hood. And you saw some great features also, but it was just the beginning for new releases coming. So the major things were, you know, the under the hood changes. And what actually happened is we released it and we broke a lot of sites. But when you have 6 million active installs, active websites, when I say a lot of sites, that's a lot of sites.
You can't see the eyes popping here, but this was quite yes. How do you cope when that situation occurs?
So what actually happened, and the day of the release, we automatically started to get a lot of responses from users on social, on our group, specifically on Facebook, on WordPress, every place, support for sure. We got some very, very nervous people saying that we broke their websites. And our automatic response was, okay, we're stopping all marketing communication to make sure that we're not harming more users. Because once Elementor is pushing an email saying, hey, update to 3.0, a lot of users are going to update. But because WordPress works in a way that once you issue an update, you can see it in your dashboard and you actually can download and use it, that already happened without us actually sending that email. So we stopped all our communication, our marketing communication, and we started working like crazy fixing bugs, because we are responsible for our users, we're responsible for their work. So we work very, very hard to make sure that we are fixing what is broken. And that was very, very complex, because how WordPress actually works is that you have enormous amount of plugins and enormous amount of ways a website can be built. So understanding those integrations and understanding the complexity of those integrations was something that in our beta phase, we couldn't understand because we didn't see that amount of the website being used. So bug after bug, we just released, like each and every day we released bugs, and we started to communicate to the community through our group and through social, this fixes this specific thing. These are FAQs. Please remember how to do it.
But it sounds like there was a trust breakage in that moment that you described.
Exactly. But the other issue wasn't the bugs itself. It was the fact that we haven't officially communicated what's going on. So we had an announcement saying, these are the things fixed. This is a major version. But we haven't actually explained what's going on. So as the days went by and we saw more and more fixes, but more and more bugs still coming in, we raised the flag as the community department. We say, guys, if we're not communicating now, we're losing the trust. It's not breaking trust, it's losing, and these people are not going to come back. And I think our biggest quality in Elementor is the fact that we are very communicative. We speak in their eye level. We are very transparent usually. And in this case, we were just saying, here's fixes, here's the fixes, here's the fixes, without actually saying, hey, we've done something wrong. So what actually happened from there is that Yoni Luxemburg, our CEO, published an article saying that we're sorry and we apologize for breaking their websites. And this is exactly what happened. And this is how we're going to fix it in the future, promising we're not going to break your sites in the future, but moreover, not breaking your trust. And that was amazing. And the responses that we got from the community, for us being truthful and for us being there for them, was more than any fix that we can issue and release very, very fast. So it had to be both things at the same time.
It sounds like a very wild ride. And basically understanding that people's lives and businesses are relating on the product. Obviously, there is a business element, but there are emotions, and you got a big, big clash of emotions coming in from people who are upset. And there's also a part of managing that aspect in the product. Once people also get attached, that's one of the things that happen once the community and people gather around what you're doing. I want to dive deeper into some of the tensions that can happen when there's a product-based community. How today do you create a community over competition in the world of freelancers? You're working with a lot of people who are building websites, and I'm sure that doesn't always come in a smooth way, especially in the Corona era. So walk us through some of the aspects in that relation.
So I think in order to actually establish a community, you need a common interest, and you need something that actually brings people together. And for us, it's the profession, is the fact that these people are web creators. They chose to use Elementor, and this is what actually brings them together. And I think the fact that people understand that by teaching others or helping others, you actually help yourself and you learn more from teaching, or it could definitely be just for like a greater good in a sense. But we also see people that translate Elementor just because they want to make sure that the next time they're going to drag and drop the buy button, it's going to be in their own language and not in English, and they will have to type it again and again. And in that sense, it's just speeding their website. So we talked in the beginning that we're interested in their whys. And once we understand their whys and understand why they're part of the community, it's very easy for us to understand are they actually helping one another and helping their, you know, natural competitor. It is working. It is something that only a web creator can feel what I'm feeling right now through COVID, through everything that is happening. They're the only ones that can actually relate to me. So it comes from, you know, a positive and negative aspects of being a web creator or being a freelancer for those people.
I think community measurements is one of the hardest thing that managers are dealing with today. And I would love for you to share whatever you can about what are the things that you're measuring that are quantitative and what are the things that you're measuring that are qualitative? Like, how did you build that? How are you tracking that? Anything that you can share with us?
Okay. So as I said, because data is something that is a very difficult point for us, it is something that for us, it's very, very hard to actually measure what we want to measure. But we are using a model that I love, which CMX created. It's the space model, if you're familiar with.
Can you share a word about CMX for people who aren't familiar with it?
So CMX is one of the largest communities for community managers. It's one of the communities that I'm part of and I learn a lot from. In community specifically, because there are not a lot of resources and it's a kind of new type of role today. So the best way to learn is from peer to peer. So once you are part of people like you, it's very easy to learn and to progress. So CMX is a wonderful example of that. And they're actually leading, I think, not the science behind community, but actually giving valuable resources and valuable things we can work with. And they created the space model, which means that you measure five main aspects of community. So we start with support and success. We super believe in user-to-user support. We know that, especially when you're doing a technical product and you want to learn and you're facing some issues, getting that response 24/7 is something that is super important to you because, as you said, it's my livelihood. I rely on this product, so I need to solve this problem now. So the fact that we can help them with community, other community users, that's amazing. So definitely support, definitely success, because you get to know how people actually work with Elementor or the wonderful websites they actually create. And that makes you want to be better and makes you want to learn that new feature or that new skill in order to progress. So by getting to know other users and really sharing what you're doing, you can achieve that goal. The next thing is product and ideation. I think feature requests is like the major thing when you think about ideation and you think about how community can actually contribute to the future of the company and to its direction. And for us also for the product, because it's an open source, so you can actually contribute code and you can actually be part of the product itself. And that is always amazing. And we can also see the ecosystem here because the fact that we have so many third parties around Elementor is because they're understanding where Elementor is going. They see the gaps and can easily touch and connect to the points that our users actually need and creating a better experience for our user in the end of the day. The third is advocacy, which when you're doing it right, let's say, these people are the best ambassadors that you can ever have. And these are not paid ambassadors. These are not ads. These are real people that actually love Elementor and spread the word. So we have a great community of community leaders, people that are enthusiastic about Elementor, want to help others get to know the tool and really understand its abilities. And then in the end of the day, they are our best advocates, our best ambassadors out there. Contribution, well, as I said, they actually can contribute to the code, but also they contribute to translations specifically. So Elementor is translated to more than 52 languages, and that's just the community. We haven't touched and or actually paid someone to translate the product. It's all community. Last but not least, it's engagement, internal and external, because we believe that community internal is very, very important. If Elementor as a company is not a community or does not feel part of the community of Elementor in general, we're doing something very, very wrong. Because in the end of the day, we won't be actually relating to our users' needs. But engagement in general is, I think, the secret sauce to any community. Without that, without real connections between people and between people to the product, you can't actually create a real community in how I view things. So engagement is like everywhere in the things that we're doing. And for example, in Elementor, it comes to life when we're doing localization. So we saw early on, when I joined, I saw that people started to open their own groups around Elementor, and specifically in their languages. We understood that, again, learning a tech product, something that you need skills, you have to learn it in your own language for some people, because English might not be your native one. So we started also a meetup program to help those people, focusing on engagement with real web creators in your local city, really getting to know them. And today we have more than 60 communities out there, which that is amazing and really serves their needs and their requests.
Super interesting. And one of the things you described is the connection and the contribution. I'd like to ask you a little bit more about the fine line that exists between, you know, supporting developers, but also the profit that the company is making in the end of the day from the product. Can you unfold the tension in managing a community in that aspect?
So we have to understand that in the end of the day, it's like a win-win situation. Elementor has its own roadmap, and we know where we're going, but we need our ecosystem. We need those developers to create more and more extensions into Elementor in order for us to actually grow. Because we started as a tool. We started as a page builder on WordPress. We matured. We created a platform of its own. So by us having more than 700 extensions, we are a source of power in WordPress in general, but also in web creation. So they rely on us and we rely on them. And it's something that in the end of the day benefits our users, which that's what really is important to us. Because we're not going to take each and every gap on each and every hole that might be created in the ecosystem. We're not touching very, very tiny niches and needs and users face. And those add-ons, those third-party developers have the ability to create a very, very small thing, but maybe very, very, very important to a specific type of user. And he has his own niche. He doesn't have to, you know, do a lot of, and really succeed. So it's definitely a win-win.
We're approaching the end, but there's a lot of questions that we want to ask you. So we're going to try and focus on a few that I'm sure listeners are curious about. There are a lot of skills involved in what you're doing. You're basically reinventing a lot of things. And we're curious to know, where do you go to evolve these skills? And what do you think they are, right, to actually be able to do this kind of job?
So I'm not sure if it's not politically correct, but I think
we like
that
not politically correct. No foul. Finally, okay. We have somebody who can, yeah.
No, but in a sense that I don't feel that you can teach someone to be a community person. I think these qualities are coming from within. I came to Elementor without actual community experience. So I did it on a social level and I did marketing for a long time, but the company trusted me and trusted what I brought into the conversation in order to understand that there's a future for me at Elementor, there's a future for community at Elementor. When I look at someone that interviews into the company to do community, first of all, I just want to see if that person is a community person. I don't look at his CV in a way that, okay, he didn't specific things like you normally will see in job titles. I think our ability to think outside the box, which is super, super important, the ability to actually connect dots, because you're listening to a lot of people and a lot of ideas and suggestions and opinions from various stakeholders. And you need to actually connect those and see what's relevant and what's not, and deliver that into the company and really change how we're doing things if things needs to be changed. And in the end of the day, it's very, very personal, because you're a real person. You're not actually sitting behind a big computer. These are real people. Our users are real people. I'm a real person. And it could get very, very personal. And you have to make sure that you don't take it to heart. You need to come with your whole heart into it, but you need to understand it's not something that is directed to you specifically. And it's very, very hard. And I struggle with it like each and every day. But I want to make sure that whoever does community has the ability to sleep at night, because it's very, very hard, specifically in the cases like we have with the RLEs. It's hard. It could get very, very emotional.
You raise a really interesting point that more and more organizations are dealing with today is how to hire a new community manager, a new community team member. So you said a lot of the general things that we would like to see and the skills, as Inbal asked, but now maybe if you have any insights about that, like how can you see all of those things in 1 hour? What are you looking for? How do you decide who will be a potential great community manager and who's maybe not having all the skills that you mentioned?
First of all, I think we should all be aware that social is there. And it's very, very, very easy for us to actually go to your profile and see what you're doing and see how you are connecting, in a sense. I'm a very private person. If someone will look at my Facebook, my profile page, there's nothing there. Really nothing there, but because I'm very active in groups specifically because I come from that world. But my LinkedIn is something that I am actually working on. So there's a lot of things that you should be aware of once you come into an interview. And for me, specifically for community, we do give you an assignment. We want to see how you actually think and how you're actually going to solve a problem that in most cases are relevant to human connections, because there's a lot of crisis management in community, specifically because we are front-facing the users in most cases. It's very important for us to see your initial response to something, because you have to be very, very careful because we're representing a company, not ourselves specifically. So how do you handle that situation? So there's a lot of different questions that we ask, and we see how people actually respond to. Because again, it could be very, very hard to manage a crisis and your gut is saying, do something like this, and you have to respond very, very fast. And the direction and how you see things is super, super important. You have to see the good side of, the other person. You have to. Without that, it's very, very hard to do community.
Yep. And it's really interesting understanding how much in general communities, we know it's hard and we know there are crises and then you need to take care of things. But actually now when you think about it, in Elementor, it's the business. You can't fail in the community. You can't do mistake or you need to fix things. It's really interesting.
Looking forward into the future, where do you see the role of the ecosystem manager evolving, not just in Elementor, but generally?
In the end of the day, community is a key factor for growth and innovation. So once a company really understands that and really put its users or its customers in front of what they're doing, and also always think about how they're benefiting them, the company will succeed. And I think community roles will become irreplaceable. But again, it is a struggle when you can't actually prove what you're doing. We talked about the KPIs and the difficulties that we face. We need the first leap of faith in order to actually do it from a company side. And for most companies today, it's very, very hard. I was lucky to get into Elementor in that sense. As I said, community is no stranger to Elementor because it's coming from WordPress. But the abilities that what community can bring to Elementor is always evolving. So what I thought 2 years ago or a year ago or even now is always changing. And a lot of things are being added into what we're doing because we've proven how valuable community is for us. And I think especially understanding that community for Elementor really defines Elementor and really defines it, make it unique in our ecosystem. And that's our biggest privilege and biggest accomplishment, to just enable them. Because in the end of the day, we didn't do anything. We just enabled our users to be part of us.
Nufal, we are going to wrap up, unfortunately, with some quick fire questions. So these are one answer, no breathing, answering in between. You can okay. read a little bit. I'm kidding. So let's go. One book that changed your life.
It's a bit of a cliche, but Tony Hsieh's Delivering Happiness is definitely one of them.
Who is a big inspiration for you in the ecosystem world right now?
So you told me that you interviewed Richard Millington from Feverbee, which I am dying to hear because I love what he's doing in Feverbee. And if you can only sign up for one email or one newsletter in your life, sign up for Feverbee because it's a daily dose of short and quick and a ton of value in each email that you get.
One tip you wish you knew when entering this field, which will help other people entering it.
So I've mentioned it before, but put your heart into it, but remember it's not personal. I think that's my biggest tip for myself each and every day.
Amazing.
This was really interesting, Nufal. I like the fact that you're bringing a new breath of air to like the community meets business world. I think it's really important where it's heading. And I love the fact that you're working there and you're creating a lot of insights for the market. And I would love to have this conversation with you in a few years and just learn where did the market go in that time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me.
We'll see you around. Thank you for your time.
Thank you guys.